بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته جزاكم الله خيرا to everyone for attending we ask Allah the Almighty to allow us to benefit from His words increase us in our ikhlas and allow what we learn to be of goodness in our life and the lives of the people we are connected with. Allahumma ameen. So we jump into Surah Saf at verse number 7, which is the halfway point of the surah, and we're going to try and cover the rest of the surah in this final session, which is 7 verses. Verse number 7, Allah the Almighty says, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ اِفْتَرَىٰ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ وَهُوَ يُدَعَىٰ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ And who does more wrong than the one who invents a lie against Allah whilst he is being called to Islam. Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. So this verse, it is connected to the verse before, which was telling us about the reaction of Bani Israel to Isa alayhi salam, how they denied him. And they said, هذا سحر مبين. This is all magic. The miracles that he was performing, they said, explaining it away, that it's nothing but magic. Now this verse, number 7, it moves away from history and Allah makes a generic statement which applies to Bani Israel of the past but also the people of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quraysh, the Arabs, and even until today, this is a timeless verse. And it begins with a question, who does more wrong than? And the word wrong in Arabic is dhulm, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ And in our mind, dhulm is often associated with oppression, yes, or abuse. That is part of the meaning, but in English, it doesn't get across the whole meaning of the word dhulm. So Allah is saying, who does more dhulm, which can be understood as wrong? Who does more wrong than a person who invents a lie against Allah? Now note that the verse before is talking about people who rejected Isa alayhi salam saying, that those miracles were nothing but magic, he's not a real prophet, and they denied him. This verse is saying, who does more wrong, who invents a lie against Allah? Where you would have expected it to say, who does more wrong than the person who invents a lie against the prophets? Because that's what seemingly happened before. No, this is an implication. And that is, the prophet of Allah is calling to Allah. He is established by Allah. So if you deny him, you are denying Allah. If you're making up things about the prophet, you are making up things about the one who sent him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who does more wrong than that type of person? وَهُوَ يُدَعَىٰ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ Whilst they're being called to Islam. So this could be understood as if you were living in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the people, he's there actively giving them da'wah, and into his face they are saying things that are hostile, abusive, defaming him, calling him a magician, calling him a soothsayer, calling him a fortune teller, calling him a madman. I mean, if he wasn't there and you heard that he said you should believe in X, Y, Z and you denied it, that would be a wrong. But to say that to his face, it speaks volumes about the character of those people. And the idea of wrong here is interesting because when you think someone's doing wrong, in your mind you think they're doing wrong against somebody else. But in Islam, dhulm actually has three dimensions. The first is to do dhulm against another creation. And that could be a human being or an animal. But also dhulm against Allah, the Almighty. Not that you could wrong him, but you are trying to wrong him. You are attempting to do wrong against Allah. This is the second dimension. Who knows the third dimension? To do dhulm against Ahsant, to do against yourself. And truly, somebody who rejects the message of the Prophet ﷺ, he's the only person he's wronging is himself, for he will suffer in this life and in the hereafter. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ Allah says, whoever turns away from my remembrance will have, one interpretation, a miserable life. A miserable life. And then in the Akhirah, there is nothing but punishment. May Allah save us all from such a fate. Allahumma ameen. So who does more wrong, meaning to Allah, to the prophets, and to their own selves by denying the truth? whilst they're being called to Islam. Wallahu la yahdi al-qawm al-zalimin. Allah does not guide a people who do dhulm. Now, before this, Allah said, Wallahu la yahdi al-qawm al, who remembers? Fasiqeen, ahsant. Allah does not guide a people who do fisq, which we said it means people who are immoral, people who do things outside of the boundaries of Islam. This one is saying, we don't guide people who do dhulm. Yes. And one of the reasons why Allah says that these people are dhalimun is because of this idea of dhulm being more than just wronging people, but also spiritually wronging yourself. And if you spiritually wrong yourself, it kind of suggests that you don't want guidance. The Prophet is coming to you to guide you, and you are rejecting it by saying he's nothing more than a magician. What will Allah do? Punish you. How will he punish you? He will not give you guidance then. And that matches up to something Allah said earlier about Bani Israel. فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. When their hearts deviated from the truth, what did Allah do? He made them become even more deviant. And we said this is the relationship that a human being has with Allah. The more they yearn for his guidance, the more he guides them. The more they turn away from his guidance, the more Allah makes them turn further away. So if somebody wants to be guided, it's within their own grasp. It is not down to external factors or accident or fluke. It is because of the intention of the person's heart. Wallahu la yahdi al-qawm al-zalimin. And then Allah says, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. This is an amazing verse. Allah says, what they want, meaning the enemies of the prophets, what they want is to لِيُطْفِئُوا, to put out the light of Allah بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ, with their mouths. وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ, but Allah will fulfill or perfect his light even if the kafirun dislike that. So before this, Allah is saying, you know, these people, look how they're so unjust to themselves, to the prophets, by denying them, belying them. And I'm not going to guide those type of people. And then Allah says, you know, those type of people, it's not enough for them to reject guidance themselves. They want to make sure that those who are guided are disrupted. Those who do want to live a moral life, to live by principle, to live by teachings that go back to a prophet, they will try to undermine them. They will try to spoil that. And in your mind, you should be thinking about the times we live in today, that how much Islamophobia there is in our life, in our times, and how much effort is put into misguiding people. And Allah describes that as people, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ, people who try to put out the light of Allah. As if they are trying to do the impossible. Some of the scholars, they say, it is like a person trying to blot out the light or the heat of the sun with their mouth, looking at the sun and thinking that somehow they could blow it out. A foolish thought, a foolish action. What then about the one who created the sun? Can you blot out his light? Can you put his light out? You cannot. And then Allah says, emphatically, وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ. Allah will certainly mutim, means to perfect, to complete. So Allah doesn't say he will stop them from putting it out. He says he will complete that light, meaning that their efforts to try to undermine Islam will have no bearing, will have no success. Rather, Allah has decreed that his light will be perfected. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Even if the disbelievers, they don't like that, even if they detest the rise of Islam and detest the prosperity of the Muslim community, Allah will still make it happen regardless of how hard they try. You know, in 2013, there was a survey done in America to see how much funding is given to organizations set up to stir up Islamophobia within the media and in the political class. In 2013, do you know how much money they said they found to have been funneled into organizations and lobbyists with the intent of creating Islamophobia in America? $210 million. That was in 2013. Imagine how much money they spend today to try to to try to shut down Islam. And despite all that, Islam is still the fastest growing religion in the world. You know, a month ago, I went to a masjid in Chadwell Heath, Al-Huda. And after the khutbah, I finished the salah and then I was about to leave, but there was a young English man there. He was dressed with the Palestinian flag, with the topi on and thobe. And he was smiling and he said, "You know, I want to speak to you. My name is Ben. I became Muslim 3 weeks ago." I was like, "You became Muslim 3 weeks ago and you're dressed like this?" I said, "I thought you would be on the minbar the way you're dressed." He said, "Yeah, I became Muslim 3 weeks ago and, he started talking to me about why he became Muslim. But then he said something interesting. He said, "You know, my mother, after seeing me change dramatically in these 3 weeks, she said, you know, the change I've seen in you, Ben, I want to read this Quran." And he said, "I've given her the Quran. I want you to make dua that Allah opens a heart to Islam." I said, "What about your father? Is he alive?" He said, "Yeah, but he hates me now that I've become Muslim." So one of the brothers said, "Just buy him some fish and chips and, you know, make him be happy. He'll be fine." So anyway, 1 month goes by and I go back to the same masjid and Ben's there in the front row. Before I get to the minbar, he stands up and he says, "I want to give you some good news. My mother became Muslim." I said, "How old is she?" He said, "She's 77 years old." I was amazed. So after the khutbah, I wanted to sit with him and speak to him. After the khutbah, there was another young Englishman sitting next to him, waiting for me. And this one looked even more English than Ben. His name was Daniel. Blue-eyed, blonde hair. And I was thinking, this guy, I think he can't be Muslim right now. Like, you might be interested, but he definitely doesn't look Muslim. So I started talking to him and he said an Arabic word. I don't know what he said. "Allahu Akbar, MashaAllah." And I was like, "Daniel, are you Muslim?" He goes, Yeah, I became Muslim 3 years ago." So he became Muslim 3 years ago. "Where do you live?" He said, "Oh, I live in Becontree." I said, "So what brings you here?" He said, "You know, you took a picture with Ben and you put it on Twitter. And that went kind of viral when I saw that. And I thought to myself, you know, for 3 years, I've been a secret Muslim. I haven't told anyone in my family. And here's Ben trying to make his mama Muslim. So I wanted to come and meet Ben to find out what he does to tell his family about Islam." So I said, "Okay, so who are you going to tell?" He goes, "Well, the thing is, my sister's the closest person to my family, and I decided that, you know what, I want to just speak to her and tell her. Like, she's like the closest person to me, she won't be mad at me." So he said, I sat her down, I said, "You know, I want to tell you something, don't be mad at me, but I became Muslim 3 years ago." And she said, "I'm already Muslim." She said, "I'm already Muslim." And he's like, "What? When?" She said, "Oh, 5 years ago. But the thing is, I don't pray. I feel really bad. I don't really practice. But seeing as you're Muslim now, let's try and figure this out together and start praying and doing everything we need to do." I was amazed, subhanAllah. Really, I was shocked. Even before that, one of my friends, did I mention the story about the Englishman in Peak District? Did I mention it in this thirds? No? My friend went to Peak District with his family. He went there last year as well. This year, he went to the same place. He hires bikes for his family. They go hiking, biking in the forest and all the rest of it. So what happened is that when he went to rent the bikes, there was an elderly English man there who had met the previous year. He had got in conversation with him. And then the white man said to him, "By the way, my friend is Asian." He said, "Do you know Arabic?" And my friend said, "No, I do. I'm learning Arabic. Why are you?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm learning Arabic." And he's like, "Why are you learning Arabic?" "Because I want to learn the Quran." And he goes, "You want to learn the Quran? Are you Muslim?" He goes, "Yeah, I became Muslim." He's like, "Is there any other Muslim in this?" There was like a village. He goes, "Any other Muslim in this whole village?" He goes, "There's not a single Muslim in this entire area." So he goes, "How did you become Muslim?" He goes, "Well, I was very depressed." And he said, he went into the forest to kill himself. And then he said, "Allah spoke to me." And then my friend was like, "Whoa, sorry, what?" He goes, "Yeah, Allah spoke to me." And then my friend, he didn't want to really like get into the details of that. So he goes, okay, and then what happened? He goes, well, I went home and I went on TikTok. And on TikTok, there was this guy who's talking about Islam. And I followed him and then I messaged him and I said, no, can you tell me about this religion? I liked a few things you said. So the guy on TikTok got in contact with him. He's in another country. He told him about Islam, said it in the Quran. And this Englishman took a shahada all by himself. Imagine, all by himself. And now he said, I'm learning Arabic because I want to know what God really said. Allahu Akbar. Amazing, subhanAllah. We really underestimate the beauty of Islam because this is happening in spite of the Islamophobia. This is happening in spite of all the discrimination that Muslims are facing in the West, that people still become Muslim. And we haven't even spoken about how most of them are women. Isn't it? Most of the people that convert are women. They're not men. There's a masjid in Lewisham, you might know Imam Shakil Beg. Do you know that almost every single day, someone new becomes Muslim? Every single day, not every week. Before it was once a week. And recently I met a brother, he said, no, it's become once a day almost now. Because one person converts and he goes home and then their friends find out or their family find out and then they say, I want to convert as well. Then they bring their brother and then their sister. And so almost every single day, another person becomes Muslim. Allahu Akbar Kabira. How true were Allah's words? Wallahu mutimmu nurihi walau kariha al-kafirun. Allah will perfect His light even if the disbelievers dislike it. Despite all their efforts. And one of the take-home messages we should get from that is, why do we feel so shy to talk about Islam? When Allah has already promised the light of Islam will go everywhere. Why do we feel so shy and reserved to talk about Islam to our non-Muslim colleagues and friends? Even the small conversation, you know? Islam is already in the news most of the time anyway. Just talk about the Palestinian issue. And already you're lining yourself to talk about Islam. And everyone knows something that they can share now. Didn't the Prophet say, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٍ, propagate from me, even if it's just one verse. Now, even if you just know one thing about Islam, share that with somebody else. What is going to happen to that person if they die without becoming Muslim? What is going to happen to them? And that could have been averted if we shared the beauty of Islam. May Allah give us understanding. Allahumma ameen. يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. One of the interesting things the scholars pick up on is the word أَفْوَاهِهِمْ, which means they say they try to put out the light of Allah with their mouths. And that seems a redundant word because when you say with your mouth. Why would Allah say they say with their mouths? And some of the scholars, they say the reason being is because it's empty words, meaning that they don't base their argument on evidence. It's just them running their mouth. You know, in English, they're running your mouth, saying things that really and truly have no basis, no substance. And a lot of the attacks against Islam, when you deconstruct them, they are baseless. There's no substance behind them. The next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. It is He, meaning Allah. Allah is the one who sent His Prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then He says He sent Him with two things. Number one, بِالْهُدَى, with guidance. And number two, وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ, and the religion of truth. لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, to make it dhahra. Dhahra in Arabic means to become apparent. In the context of this verse, it means that the religion of Islam becomes dominant, prosperous, ala dini kullihi, over every other religion ideology. So let us pause and reflect over that. Allah is saying the reason why He sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to this earth is for His message to become supreme, for His message to become the most dominant religion in the world. Is that happening or not? Are we witnessing that or not? We are. We are witnessing the fulfillment of Allah's promise. Even now, we are 1500 years almost since the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and we are seeing that Islam has spread far and wide. Us sitting here today with the Book of Allah in East London is a testimony to this, no? This religion came from Arabia. Today we are in East London, in a non-Muslim country, in a masjid, which is a form of church, talking about the words of Allah. Is this not a proof of what Allah said? Yes, it is. We fail to see this. Huwa alladhi, it is He. Meaning, the reason why the disbelievers, the enemies of Islam, will not be able to thwart, stop the success of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mission is because Allah is the one who sent him. Allah is the one who is backing him, and Allah is the one who has destined for his mission to be successful. Huwa alladhi arsala rasulahu bil huda wa din haqqi liyudhhirahu ala ad-din kullihi walau kariha al-mushrikun. Even if the mushrikun dislike it. Before Allah said walau kariha al-kafirun. Even if the disbelievers don't like that. Now Allah is saying, if the mushrikun, even if they don't like that, we're still going to make it happen. We are still going to. And this part of Allah's promise was fulfilled before the death of the Prophet ﷺ. Because when he passed away, almost all of the Arabian Peninsula had submitted itself to his message. But the most important thing is that Makkah al-Mukarramah, the sacred land, which was the place of idolatry for so many hundreds of years, was liberated, the idols were destroyed, and Islam was restored. That happened in his life. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. Even if the Quraysh and the polytheists, they hated that. Then Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ. Believers, now Allah's attention turns to all of us, as though what you read before, you should read it into your own lives. I told you about the history of Bani Israel. I told you about this message to Muhammad ﷺ and how he was treated. And how the enemies of Islam are trying to stop his message becoming successful, because I want to say something to you. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. O you who believe. Allah is calling upon us by virtue of the fact that we believe in him. To say what? Hal adullukum. Should I not direct you towards tijara? A business trade, a deal. Should I not show you a deal? تُنْجِيكُم مِّنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. That would save you from a painful punishment. See, what Allah is really saying is, now, do you want to know how you're going to save yourself from the hellfire? Should I tell you what you need to do now? Like I told you about history and how people came and some of them failed miserably. And before that, Allah spoke about how He doesn't like people who say they're going to do great things and then they don't do anything. So now, as a reader of the surah, your mind should be like, you know, Allah, I want to really know, what do you want? How can I fix myself? What can I do to be saved by you? Allah says it explicitly now. Hal adullukum, should I not? And this is a question. It's a rhetorical question. And the purpose of the question is to try to create some curiosity, to encourage you to say almost in your mind, yes, Allah, I do want to know. And the word tijara is a word from business vernacular. It is to do with money. And when everyone hears of a deal or a trade or a business transaction, their minds start to sharpen up, because like, oh, there's money to be made here. There's something to be had here. Everyone, when they talk about money, they become serious. Right? No joking around when it's about money. So Allah uses that instinct of human beings to want money, to want wealth, to prosper in business, to say, what about spiritually? Would you like a deal spiritually that could save you? From what? Min adhabin alim. From a painful punishment. And the reader is saying, yes, of course, Allah. Of course I want to be saved from a painful punishment. What is this deal? What is it that I need to do to be saved from this painful punishment? Allah says, تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Number one, what I want is for you to believe in Allah and His Messenger. Does Allah ask for a lot? What I want you to do is truly believe in Allah and His Messenger. And number two, وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. And to engage in jihad, which means to strive and to struggle for the sake of Allah with your money and with your own selves. With your money and your own selves. Now, because Allah says with your money and your own selves, the meaning of tujahiduna, therefore, is a holistic meaning, i.e. the struggle For Islam is ideological. It is to do physically when there is a Muslim state and there are war. And it is also to do with the internal struggle that a person every day has to struggle for the sake of Allah to pray their fajr, to struggle every day to come and do the right thing in life. It is all a struggle, internal, external, physically, mentally, ideologically. Allah is saying, what I want you to do is to strive and to struggle with the resources I've given you and this mind and this body that I gave you. As if to say, if you were to do this, have faith in me and be committed and steadfast, then you deserve to be saved from the painful punishment. And this is how the surah began, because the question that the Muslims asked was, what? What was the question the Muslims asked? And some of them didn't like the answer to, yes? What is the most beloved deed to Allah so that we could do that deed? And when they found out it was jihad fi sabilillah, some of them, they found that difficult. They found it a bit too much. Allah is saying, no, no, this is what we actually want. This is what we expect for Muslims, that they strive and struggle in my religion, in my cause, defending the religion and supporting the religion. And this basically means that as a Muslim, you can't be, you can't think of your Islam as something very private and personal, which you keep to yourself. It actually means that as a Muslim, you have to try to share your faith with other people. And if you see something wrong, you have to stand up against it. That's essentially what it means. Alhamdulillah, you know, one of the amazing things that is happening in spite of the tragedy unfolding in Gaza is that Muslims are standing up for their truth, for the truth. Muslims are speaking out. Muslims are uniting. Muslims are mobilizing in so many different ways. And I'm sure that even more khair is yet to be seen in the younger generation in the future because of the genocide that they have seen unfolding in front of their eyes. But they realize that as Muslims, they can't keep silent, because if we keep silent, then what does it do? Allow the shaitan to speak, allows the shaitan to act. So either we are acting towards the truth, or the shaitan and his awliya are acting towards evil. It is either the path of evil or the path of the truth. So we cannot be a bystander and you cannot be passive. And then Allah says, if you were to do this, to believe in Him and to strive and to struggle in His cause with your money and your wealth, with your money and yourselves, ذَلِكُمْ, then that, what I just said there, خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, that is better for you, إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ, if only you would know that. Meaning, some people, they know it, but they don't live like they know it. Do you know what I mean? If you ask them, well, what is it that Allah wants? What is it the Muslim should do? They can tell you, but their life suggests that they don't really believe that. Or their life suggests that they haven't really internalized that. They think it's about other things. So Allah is saying, إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ, if you really knew, meaning if you really knew the truth of this and the need to act upon this. And then Allah spoke about the rewards. If you were to do this, what will happen, Ya Allah? Number one, يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, He would forgive you of your sins. وَيُدَخِلْكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, and He would admit you into jannat, the plural of jannah, gardens beneath which rivers flow. وَمَسَاكِنَ طَيِّبَةً فِي جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ, and masakin, meaning residence, palaces, castles that are طَيِّبَة, meaning pleasant and pure. فِي جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ, in gardens that are عَدْن. عَدْن means eternal. We'll give you this as well. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, that is the fawz, which means success. عَظِيمُ, which means the greatest. That is the greatest success. People have different understandings of success. Success for a regular person is getting a great job, a six-figure salary, living in their own house, owning their properties, having investments. Allah is saying, no, no. This is the real success. When you end up in Jannah with all of these rewards and my forgiveness. Before Allah spoke about Jannah, He spoke about forgiveness. يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ, forgiveness came before the rewards of paradise. And it's very interesting because that is a sequence that Allah usually sticks to in the Quran. When He talks about reward, He will say, the first thing we will do is we will forgive you. Imam al-Razi, he said, one of the reasons why Allah says we will forgive you before He talks about what we will give you is because imagine a person ended up in Jannah, enjoying the fruits of paradise, enjoying the Hur Ayn of paradise, his palace, and he's sitting there and he's thinking, what about all those silly things I did in my life? Is someone going to come knocking on the door and tell me, by the way, you know what you did? It's still outstanding. You're enjoying yourself here. You forgot about that. So Allah knows that it will play on the minds, on the conscience of the believers, even if they enter Jannah. So Allah says, the first thing we will do, we will release you from your guilt. We will take away all your worries about the past. We will forgive you. And knowing that you are pure, we will then enter you into paradise. Allahu Akbar. Allah takes care of everything. You know, one of the last people to become Muslim from the Quraysh was Amr ibn As. Amr ibn As was one of the last people to become Muslim from the Quraysh before the conquest of Mecca. So the Prophet ﷺ has come to Mecca at the head of an army of 10,000. He's camping outside. He tells everyone to light as many campfires as possible to create a great scene and to strike fear in the hearts of the Quraysh. And when they see that from afar, some of them realize, you know what? Time is up. That's the end of the road. One of those men was Amr ibn As. And he was a rich man. He was a statesman, a politician, very clever and very smart and intelligent. And he really didn't want to become Muslim. But he realized, you know, time is up. So he came to the Prophet ﷺ. Imagine the things he's done to try and undermine the Prophet ﷺ, nobody has done. He went all the way to Abyssinia when the Muslims migrated to try to stir up hatred against them with the king so that they would have to come back to Mecca and they could be punished. Amr ibn As was one of the men who went there and he tried his best to do that. So he has a career in trying to be an enemy of the Prophet. And then he's like, now I'm going to become Muslim. Okay, so how's this going to go down? So he comes in the middle of the night, face covered, heading towards the tent of the Prophet. He gets found out on the way and then he's brought in the presence of the Prophet. And the Prophet says to him, why have you come? And he says, I have come to give you bay'ah. So the Prophet is delighted. He puts out his hand. Imagine, the Prophet puts out his hand. Amr ibn As, he takes his hand away and he puts it behind his back. Everyone is astonished. How dare you? And Amr ibn As, and the Prophet says, wayhak, what is the matter with you? He says, ya Rasulullah. He says, I want to know, will I be forgiven for what I've done? I want you to guarantee that I'll be forgiven for what I've done. So the Prophet ﷺ, he says, don't you know accepting Islam? Don't you know that accepting Islam extinguishes everything you've done in your past? He said, don't you know that everything you've done, embracing Islam, it extinguishes what you've done in your past? Making a hijrah extinguishes what you've done in your past. And making hajj would extinguish what you've done in your past. And then when he realized that he would be forgiven, he put out his hand and he gave bay'ah to the Prophet. You see, the reason I find that very emotional is because we all have that worry in our minds that we're not good enough for Allah because of what we've done in our past. But here, a clear open enemy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is given a second chance. So none of us should ever despair of the mercy of Allah. May Allah forgive us for our sins. Allahumma ameen. يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَيُدَخِلْكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِيَ الْأَنْهَارِ. وَمَسَاكِنَ طَيِّبَةً فِي جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. After Allah spoke about the hereafter rewards, which were number one, forgiveness, Number two, paradise. Number one, forgiveness. Number two, paradise. Then Allah will speak about a third reward. And this is connected to the worldly life. Allah says, وَأُخْرَى تُحِبُّونَهَا. And something other than this. تُحِبُّونَهَا, that you love. Meaning, for Allah, it's not a big deal. For Allah, it's not a huge thing like Jannah is a huge thing. This is something that you love. And we will give you this thing that you love. What is that, Allah? نَصْرٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَتْحٌ قَرِيبٌ. The help of Allah will come to you, and very soon an imminent victory will be given to you as well. This is speaking about Fathul Makkah. It is promising the Prophet ﷺ that very soon you will be granted this epic victory. For the Muslims today, when they think of the help of Allah, they think of success, they think of the victory of Islam in the worldly sense. That Muslims having their own land, ruling by their own religion, united together. No doubt this is a victory. No doubt this is part of success. But the real success is not having a nation or a country. The real success is seeing people worship Allah. This is the real success. Whether that is in isolation, whether that is together. Together it is better. But the real success is seeing people turn to Allah and worship Him. And in a sense, subhanAllah, on the back of what is happening in Gaza, may Allah grant them victory over the oppressors. The fact is, so many people have become Muslim on account of seeing the genocide. Isn't that true? You all see all these new content creators, TikTok and YouTube, reading the Quran. Even my wife, I mean, this is months ago, she's like, this is black lady, she's in America, she's non-Muslim, she's reading the Quran. And I was like, is she doing tafsir or is she reading translation? She says, no, she's just reading the translation. So many, and they became Muslim. So many people have become Muslim because of seeing the devastating things unfolding. And in a way, this is success for Muslims. Because what we love is what Allah loves. And what Allah loves for people to worship Him. Whether that comes through seeing brutality or whether that comes from seeing peace. Yes? Though obviously what we wish is for Islam to enter people's hearts without seeing such suffering. But it is the qadr of Allah. وَنَصْرٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَتْحٌ قَرِيبٌ وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So give glad tidings to the believers. Allah is encouraging us and telling us that, look, it is worth it. If you strive for my religion, you sacrifice for me, what you will get in its place will make it so worth your while. You will not regret struggling for the sake of Allah. You will not regret sacrificing what you have for Allah's religion. Never. Then Allah ends the surah. Let me just go on one tangent here. I spoke about Amr ibn al-As. And I said to you, he made a career out of being an enemy of the Prophet ﷺ. Then he becomes Muslim. He's only Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ passes away soon after this. So he becomes a Muslim when the Prophet ﷺ comes to the Medina. He becomes Muslim when the Prophet ﷺ conquers Makkah. What year is that? Anyone know? What year does he conquer Makkah? No one knows? Year one. La ilaha illallah. It's the 8th Hijri year. Which means the Prophet is only alive for just over a year after this. So Amr ibn al-As only gets to spend literally 1 year as a Muslim beside the Prophet. And yet, he is the one who asks the Prophet, who do you love the most? Thinking what? That the answer would be you. And the Prophet said, Aisha radiallahu anha. And then Amr said, no, from the men. And he said, Abuha, her father, Abu Bakr. And then Amr said, and after that, and the Prophet said, it is Umar. And Amr said, I was so embarrassed to ask another time in case it wasn't me that I stopped asking there. So Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu an, after spending a life trying to destroy the Prophet ﷺ and his mission, after 1 year he thinks he loves him the most. And that wasn't his imagination playing tricks on him, it was the way the Prophet ﷺ treated him. Allahu Akbar. It's amazing, isn't it? that he treated this man this well, that he ended up thinking that maybe he loves me more than everyone else in his life. Beautiful, subhanAllah. So the last verse, Allah Jalla says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ku ansar Allah. Believers, be the ansar of Allah. Meaning, be the supporters of Allah's religion. Be the ambassadors of Islam. Be the person who stands up for Allah's religion. And then Allah says an example. كَمَا قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ لِلْحَوَارِينَ Like Isa alayhi salam, the son of Maryam alayhi salam, said to his disciples. Now, the disciples of Isa alayhi salam were very few. Does anyone know how many they were before he was supposedly crucified, taken up by Allah? 12. Yes, just 12. 12 followers. Allah says, be the supporters of Allah, like when Isa alayhi salam said to his disciples, who were few in number, Man ansari ilallah, who will be my supporter when it comes to Allah's religion? What did the disciples say? قال الحواريون نحن أنصار الله. They said very emphatically, we will be the supporters of Allah, meaning his religion. As if to say, we know, Isa, that most people reject you and are hostile towards you. We're not going to be those people. We're going to be right by your side. We're going to be supporters of Allah's religion. فَآمَنَتْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّن بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ وَكَفَرَتْ طَائِفَةٌ And so, a ta'ifa, which means a group from Bani Israel, who were the ones who received Isa's message, they believed. But another group of them, they disbelieved. So these are now considered to be the Jews. And those who believed are considered to be the Christians. So Allah says, فَأَيَّدَنَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَىٰ عَدُوِّهِمْ And so we supported those who believed over those who showed them enmity. فَأَصْبَحُوا ظَاهِرِينَ And so they, the small group who believed, they became ظَاهِرِينَ, which is the same word Allah used before, لِيُظْهِرَهُ They became dominant, their religion prevailed. And as we see, history bears witness that when Isa alayhi salam finished his mission, even though his disciples were few and the enemies were great in number, which religion dwindled until it became one of the least practiced religions in the world? The Jews. Which became the fastest growing religion in the world and was only overtaken by Islam until this decade? The Christians. Allahu Akbar. Well, Allah said it's true. They were 12, but they were on the truth. And they supported Allah's religion, and so Allah made them successful. SubhanAllah. It is the truth. What Allah said is the truth. And Allah made them prevail despite having less numbers, despite having less resources, despite the enemies being great, despite the enemies being mighty. And Ibn Ashur said, disciples that came later, like Paul, for example, who wrote the Bible down, despite his corruptions, it was through their hands that many hundreds and thousands of people became believers, meaning believers in the religion of Isa alayhi salam. And so Isa alayhi salam never got to see the success of his mission during his first life. But of course, when he returns, then he will see. And perhaps the knowledge is already with him, alayhi salam. And so what Allah said is true. And that is why the surah ends on this note, because the message of Surah Al-Saf is connected to this last verse. The message here is be like the disciples of Isa. Now, interestingly, did the disciples of Isa alayhi salam ever wage war? Did they ever go into battle? Never. They never did jihad on the battlefield. Then why did Allah say be like them? We thought this surah was about jihad, meaning only in the physical, military sense. But Allah is saying, no, be like the Ansar of Allah. The Hawariyun of Isa alayhi salam. The reason being is because the message is to do with more than just physical fighting. The message is to do with being committed and loyal to the religion of Allah. Whether you are few, whether you are great. Whether it involves physically having to fight, or whether it involves ideologically having to fight. Whether it involves internally having to overcome your desires, or whether it involves externally having to overcome the enemies. Be committed to Allah's religion and be loyal, and Allah will give you rewards in the hereafter, and he will give you success in this life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us internalize this message, to act upon what we have learned, and to forgive us for our shortcomings. Allahumma ameen. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين بارك الله فيكم.
Jazakallahu khairan to Ustad for that enlightening session, the final part of Surah Al-Saff. So as announced, inshallah, we'll have a quiz just to have a bit of fun at the end with some prizes to be won, inshallah. Normally, when you attend a dars, a halaqa, the scholars say it is bad adab to take your phones out, but on this one occasion, we'll make an exception, inshallah, purely because our participation in this quiz relies on technology. So what you're going to have to do, for the young ones who don't have a phone, grab your parents' phone or your siblings, inshallah. And for those who have a phone, obviously you can take part. Sisters, you are able to take part as well, inshallah. If you do any prize, win any prizes, the handover of the gifts to you would be after salah. Grab your phone and open up your browser, Google Chrome or Safari, whatever it might be. And you want to go to a website called menti.com. M-E-N-T-I, menti.com. So I'll give you a few seconds to, inshallah, go to that website, menti.com.
By the way, there are prizes for first, second, and third place, and also a prize for the best student of the course as well.
Inshallah, yep.
So all four prizes are dua.
Definitely. Tamam. Hopefully everyone's had a chance to go to menti.com, M-E-N-T-I.com. You got the posters at the front as well as at the back, if you're having trouble.
Oh, they go and they enter this code, is it?
And there's a code, which I'm about to say. So it will ask you to enter an 8-digit code. It's written at the front and back, and likewise in the sister side as well. I'll just read it out. You want to enter 3939, and then 34059. So I'll repeat that again. The code is 3939, then 343405, so just 5, and then 89, inshallah. That's the 8-digit code. I'll give you a few seconds just for you to join the quiz. And then after you enter the 8-digit code, you'll be asked to enter your name. So please put your full name, your first name and last name.
No, they can come up with a dodgy name. As long as it's halal.
So if you come up with a dodgy name, we're going to have trouble handing over the prizes to you.
No, and if they win, they will tell us. They'll have inshallah. To confess as well. This is my
They'll have to
name.
Be truthful, inshallah.
Yeah. You can go by your alias.
Inshallah. So menti.com, code 39340589. And then enter your name, inshallah. Just to get a rough hands up.
Everyone okay? Struggling?
Anyone struggling or everyone good? Is that thumbs
okay.
up for good?
Yeah. Let's start.
Let's start, inshallah. Tamam. So just to clarify, the way you score the most points in this quiz is by answering the question correctly as well as the quickest, so speedily as well. So you score higher when you answer it correctly and quickly as well, inshallah. So let's make a start, inshallah. MashaAllah.
Okay, we have 47 people,
players.
Yeah?
MashaAllah, very good.
See, as soon as we say this prize, everyone is interested now.
48 now. 49 or
50. MashaAllah. Call us quickly before somebody else
Let's
comes.
Go, let's go. Okay, first question is going to be displayed on your screen as well. What does the word maqt mean? What does the word maqt mean? Yeah. So number one, hateful. Oh, okay. Is it prohibited or misguided/astray? Oh. Which of the two is it? What does the word maqt mean in Arabic? Got a few responses so far?
Only 20 people got it right. It's quite a difficult question, actually. Hateful or hated. 13 people said misguided or astray. Technically, no. And prohibited, no. It doesn't mean that. This is when Allah is saying that it is very hated in His eyes that people say what they don't do. Tayyib, let's see. What's the leadership board saying?
That will come at the end.
It comes in the middle sometimes, though.
Sometimes it does. Okay. Nah, we're just going straight to the questions for time. Okay, question number two. So the question is, the surah mentions that Muslims should be like a well-cemented wall. What does this mean? Is it that individually insignificant, but stronger and working together, glued together by the slogan of La ilaha illallah, organized and united, or all of these are correct? You've got four options there. Lots of people have responded so far.
You got some hard questions, bro. Even I'm going to struggle with this one.
Okay,
so majority of people said all of these are correct, which is true. A well-cemented wall, meaning that they are like bricks, but together they are stronger, well-organized, etc., etc.
Cool, let's move on to question 3. So the question is, according to the report, what did the Muslims wish they knew? Is it the fate of the oppressors? Is it the most beloved deed or thing to Allah? Or when and how the victory would come to the believers? Which of those things did the Muslims wish they knew, which was mentioned in this course? A few more seconds, 5 seconds, for those who haven't answered yet.
Excellent. Yes, the most beloved deed to Allah. They want to know what deed does Allah love the most so they could do it.
Inshallah. Let's move on to question 4 out of 8. So the question is, how did Allah punish Bani Israel for being disobedient to Musa alayhi salam? Was it destruction by wind, destruction by water, or destruction by an illness or a plague? Which one of those three was it? How did Allah punish Bani Israel for being disobedient to Musa alayhi salam? This one.
Was it?
Yeah, it was.
Wait, I never seen this.
It was one of the questions on the list they gave. Is there any? Okay, mashallah, 27 of you, which is the majority, answered correctly. Destruction by illness or a plague. So Allah sent a plague to Bani Israel, which was a punishment for them, for their disobedience. Let's go on to question 5. Oh, just loading. In one of the verses, Isa alayhi salam informs Bani Israel about the coming of a prophet going by the name of, is it Ahmad, Muhammad, or Al-Amin? So Isa alayhi salam telling Bani Israel about the coming of a prophet, Ahmad, Muhammad, or Al-Amin. Which one is it? I think this was from last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, last week. MashaAllah, 40 people got it right. 40 people. Ahmad is the name that he mentioned. Very good. Ahmad, yes.
Question 6. Getting
two questions left. 6, 7, 8.
Three left, inshallah. And then we'll give that then. So in the verse, what comes next? So they wish to extinguish the light of Allah with their mouths. But Allah will seal their mouths? But Allah will perfect his light, or but Allah is aware of their plots. Which one is it in this translated rendition of this verse? They wish to extinguish the light of Allah with their mouths. And then which one is it? Most of you have answered so far. A couple of seconds left. And very good.
Mashallah. 37 people got it right, mashallah. But Allah will perfect his light.
Wallahu mutimmu nuri.
Very good.
Allahu Akbar. 2 more questions left. I think people are enjoying it, Ustad.
Alhamdulillah. Yes.
Question 7. The question is, how many rewards does Allah promise the believers if they uphold the trade offer that was mentioned today? Is it 3 or 4 or 5 rewards? How many rewards does Allah promise the believers if they uphold the trade offer? The tijara, as mentioned in the verse. 5 seconds left for those who have not answered. Just a couple of people left. Ooh, interesting. Go on, Ustad.
So I actually said 3 during the lesson, so I do apologize. You have to forgive me on that one, please, brothers. I said 3, but it's the correct answer is actually 4, because they distinguish between being given paradise, so forgiveness, being given paradise, but the houses in paradise.
Okay.
are described separately. So the everlasting residence of paradise is the third, and the fourth is the victory in this life. Well, so I do apologize. At least you know the right answer now.
Alhamdulillah. Final question to make up for it of the quiz.
Don't worry, everyone got it wrong. So
last question. What were the praiseworthy qualities that those disciples of Isa alayhi salam had? Were they constant in their salah? Were they loyal and committed? Or were they able to perform miracles? What were those praiseworthy qualities that they had, the Hawariyun? So soon after the quiz is done, we're going to announce the winners, inshallah. We'll do the prizes after salah, I think, inshallah, due to that then.
MashaAllah, 41 people, loyal and committed. Very good. I'm very happy that you got that one right, actually. Let's see who won. Let's see, leadership. Okay, leadership board. Don't tell me donut won. Donut won. All right, who's the donut? Donut, MashaAllah. So donut is number one. Sabriya, sister, right?
Yep.
Number two, and Umar. Who's Umar? Umar is, mashallah. Say mashallah. And the best student of the course goes to Uthman here, mashallah. Yes, because he attended everything, punctual, and answered all the questions correctly as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all. After Salah, we'll give the prize there, inshallah.
No, we've got time now. We'll just quickly...
Oh, we can do it now?
Yeah, inshallah.
Okay.
So for Sister Sabriya, we'll give it after Salah, inshallah.
Yes, donut.
So for Brother Donut, mashallah. We'll get, mashallah...
Numair,
mashallah. So he's been gifted a very beautiful 99 names of Allah frame.
Mashallah. And Umar?
Umar for third place.
So the one without the book, yeah? Without the book is third place.
Just check. This one is this.
That's the book student. One. Yeah.
And this one is?
That's for third place. Yeah. Umar.
Yeah. This is the book. What's your name? Yahya.
Mashallah.
Well done. Well done. And this is for the best student, Fadl.
This prize is a book, Sheikh Omar Sulaiman's Meeting Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that book, and some chocolate dates, inshallah. And Sister Sabriya's prize will be given after Salah, inshallah. So please stay behind. And with that, we will, inshallah, conclude today's session, as well as the three-week course on the tafsir of Surah Al-Saff. It goes without saying, we owe a lot of gratitude to Ustad Asim for his time and for his beautifully delivered sessions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from him and accept our attendance and grant us the tawfiq to benefit and act upon what we have learnt in these past 3 weeks, inshallah. With that, we'll conclude. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.